Hello, everybody. Before we get started with today's interview, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to the folks at CU Solutions and their second annual Love My Credit Union campaign. This campaign highlights credit unions giving back to their communities and sharing their heartfelt work on videos. These videos are being shared to inspire random acts of kindness and give back to charities that are near and dear to credit unions and their members. So go visit lovemycreditunion.org today. Show, we have Everdom's Timothy Ruff talking about digital identity and the credit union movement. You gotta watch this one. On today's program, we're talking digital identity with Everdom's Timothy Ruff. How are you, Timothy?
Doing fantastic, Mike. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for asking. I appreciate that. Hey, before we get started with digital identity and the credit union movement and how those two are working together here, tell us what Everdom is for those who may not know, and then how do you guys help credit unions?
Well, Everdom is pioneering a new form of digital identity called self-sovereign identity,
okay.
And we are architecting and launching a global foundation that will actually kind of be the governance for it so that we can all have identities that no one can take away. That's wow. Kind of the dream is to have an identity that no company or government can mess with.
Okay, now you're talking way over my head now, and that's not hard to do, but what is this digital identity? And where does it reside, especially like within a credit union movement? What is this thing?
Yeah, well, it's hard not to get a little bit technical, so I'll try to make sure that it's understandable for anybody who might be watching.
Sure.
So the basic concept is, if you have an identity that was given to you by someone, even a government, your credit union, Google. Anybody who has provided an identity to you can take it away, right?
Right.
They can monitor what you do. Mm-hmm. They can change the rules. I mean, we all agree to 60 pages of rules when we check the box.
Agree.
So, yeah, exactly. We check that little box. And so we all have dozens. The average person has 45 identities. Some people have upwards of 1,000.
Good grief.
They have a lot of identities kind of floating out there. We don't think of them identities. Sometimes we just think of them as usernames and passwords.
Yeah.
But it really is kind of a different version of ourselves. But having so many passwords has led to a lot of fraud. And not just a lot of passwords, just having our personal information housed in all these different mm-hmm. places, because they all have to figure out who we are when we come to visit.
Right.
Right. And so it's a mess. The current design is a mess. And so the concept of self-sovereign identity flips it around and says, instead of my identity being in pieces everywhere, I have one identity that I control that no one can take away from me. It wasn't given to me by some company or any government.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to host anything. And that's where it gets a little bit weird. And I'll explain the technical part. But the point of self-sovereign identity is I am the ultimate owner of it, the ultimate sovereign. That's why the word is used, sovereign, is because if someone else can take it away or turn off the lights and fail and it's gone or mm-hmm. anything, then they're the sovereign, not
right.
me. And so the point is that I need to be that sovereign. So now, how you probably want to know, how's that even possible? How can
yeah.
I have an identity that I don't host,
yeah.
right? I think it'd be easy to understand that if I had all the equipment and I hosted it, it's mine. Then now I have an existence, right? That's not realistic, right, for most people
right.
in the world. So enter distributed ledger technology. And if you haven't heard of that term, maybe you've heard of blockchain technology.
Yes, we've heard a little bit about that lately, yes.
And a lot of people I ask have never heard of that. And I ask, have you heard of Bitcoin? And so the answer is yes. And so we don't have anything to do with Bitcoin, but it does have a kind of a common ancestry mm-hmm. to the technology.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Bitcoin, for blockchain technology. And thank you, blockchain, for the broader category of distributed ledger technology.
Right.
But the basic idea, Mike, is this. The data is spread out all over the place in a whole bunch of little bits, and everyone has the exact same copy. And if anyone tries to change a piece of it, if they try to defraud it in any way,
mm-hmm.
even a single comma can't be changed without everybody realizing that it conflicts with the rest of the data. And so the net of it is now entities that don't trust each other, like competitors in any industry, can securely share and trust a database outside their firewall. And that makes a perfect foundation for self-sovereign identity, an identity that no one can take away, and the end user doesn't even have to host. So it sounds a little crazy, but it is
okay.
now possible.
Okay. So where do credit unions fit in the mix here, and how do they lead the way here?
It sounds, when you talk about the concept, it's like, okay, why do I even care, right?
Yeah.
and it has profound implications for credit unions and for their members. Let's just start with all the different usernames and passwords that we have, right? Why do we have so many accounts? Because you don't, when you show up to log in, that you don't have your own identity. If you could BYOI, bring your own identity.
Oh, I like that.
And prove that you're Mike when you show up.
Mm-hmm.
And not just prove it by presenting a password. Not just prove it by proving that you knew your mother's maiden name, for example, which is kind of silly. If I knew Mike's mother's maiden name, then I must be Mike. I mean, come on. So that's not true. But if there's a strong way that when you show up that you can prove that you really are Mike, then guess what? The credit union and others don't have to issue you an identity. They don't have to be in the identity providing business anymore if they don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
They can just recognize, hey, Mike's here.
Yeah.
And so now you, Mike, have fewer, and there's benefits all around. You get to consolidate all your different identities, and they don't have to be in the identity providing business.
Awesome.
And not have to manage your passwords and do things like that. I've heard that one third of calls into support centers have to do with password issues.
I don't doubt that one bit, because one of those calls is probably me.
it's frustrating. And then fraud. We got to talk about fraud. If we know that it's really Timothy or really Mike that's doing something, whether it's logging in or calling into the call center, how do we know that it's really Mike when he's calling? Is it because he knows Mike's mother's maiden name? That's how we know it's really Mike? I mean, that just happened to me the other day with my institution. They asked me my mother's maiden name, and because I knew that, they proceeded to do some technical...
That's scary.
It is a little scary. So there's strong ways now with this technology to prove that I really am who I say I am, cut down calls to the support center, minimize frustration for me, the customer, and we start getting into other fields of fraud prevention, which is making sure I'm the one making the purchase, right?
Right.
I'm the one inquiring about my credit or responding to a credit inquiry or whatever. So there's a lot of capabilities that become unleashed.
Okay, I'm going to go off on a little tangent here for a second, because Mac, their new OS came out today, the Sierra, and now you can use Siri, and now you can use Touch ID on your phone to buy stuff on your desktop, which is a pretty cool feature. So you have one identity on your phone or your iTunes account. Is it something like that, where you can bounce around to different sites and use that Touch ID to buy stuff now? Apple Pay?
Yeah, and that's a good question. And that your Touch ID with your Apple device is good enough for a whole lot of things, to log into a whole lot of things. That's more than acceptable in a lot of cases. But if you go look on YouTube, it'll take about 5 minutes for you to figure out how, with some Elmer's glue, you can go into anyone's houses and lift their fingerprints and fool your Apple device ID or anything else that takes a thumbprint.
Now I'm scared.
There's a ton of videos that show how you can lift fingerprints. So fingerprints are good and bad. There's some pluses and minuses. Mm-hmm. And there's kind of a false confidence right now in fingerprints, because they're not being used for that many things. But as they become used more prevalently, then the fraudsters will start to lift those fingerprints.
Gotcha.
And so there's much better biometrics and much better ways to authenticate than those.
Okay, I'm going to bring it back. Bring it back here to credit unions, because now, are we on the curve? Are we behind the curve, or are we ahead of it? I mean, especially if credit unions are going to be leading the way with this, it sounds like they're going to be ahead of the curve with this type of stuff, because it's really cool.
Credit unions are right now, honestly, in the driver's seat.
Nice.
If they want to be.
Right.
And credit unions are not known for leading out in breathtaking new revolutionary technologies. You know, credit unions, as I've come to know, and this, it's not my background, just working with the industry, it's just kind of accepted that credit unions are very risk averse.
Yes, they're conservative.
And very careful, and try to be a fast follower as much as possible, but usually are more in the laggard category if you look at the technology adoption curve.
Yeah.
But right now, by coincidence or whatever, credit unions have the opportunity to lead out on some of this technology before anyone else does. And Mike, there's one point that I want to make really clear.
Sure.
Self-sovereign identity is going to happen. And whether it's the sovereign foundation that we are launching, that we don't own, we've created the idea and helped organize the foundation, but then we're giving it intellectual property and everything else, and then severing our ties with it.
Okay.
We think that's the right way to do it, because the global network does have to have a little bit of human governance to it. Let's say that fails, and just we drop the ball and screwed up something badly. Someone else will pick up that ball and run with it. Self-sovereign identity is coming. The world is moving. If you look at what's happening in Europe and the legislation and everything else, I mean, Mike, they've outlawed Facebook's friend finder and like button in Germany.
What?
I mean, there's a huge pushback against the aggregation of data, and they're trying to make it so that the end user, you and me and everyone listening to this podcast, is really the ultimate control point for their data, and that you can't get any further on that continuum than self-sovereignty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's moving that way.
Right.
It's just a matter of time before we get there.
Right.
And if credit unions want to, if credit unions can recognize that, and so far in dealing with a lot of institutions in your amazing industry, it looks like they are. It's gotten a lot of attention. There's some movement. There's the CU Ledger and some wonderful things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we are very optimistic that the credit unions are going to lead out on this and really make a difference.
Yeah, it's amazing how all these things are starting to come together. You can kind of see
yeah.
it happening. It's really kind of cool, which brings me to my next question. Is like, why is this important now? Is it because the fraudsters have gotten so powerful and so clever that stuff like this, it's now a must? It's a must-have almost?
You know, that's a really good question. We started counting the different things that are kind of, you want to call them stars aligned or just facts, you know, data points to consider about why the timing is so amazing right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just give you a few.
Sure.
We are sick of having so many usernames and passwords in accounts, okay? We're all
yep.
there. One of us is there, right? And that is leading to a ton of fraud, despite all of the security technologies and the multi-billion-dollar industry that security is, and the billions of dollars spent to prevent fraud, let
mm-hmm.
alone the actual fraud, the cost of fraud when it does occur, just it's still not working. The fraudsters are ahead of us, and they're hacking into everything and spilling our data all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, big data, the world of big data that's watching all of our information, it's making us uncomfortable. It's
yeah.
a little bit creepy how they're invading our privacy. Mobile phones are everywhere. As cheap as $5 for a mobile phone in Mexico, or excuse me, a smartphone, not just a mobile phone. A smartphone now you can be had for as little as $5.
Yeah.
I was in India, and we had, you know, you would see this great wealth and great poverty, and great wealth and great poverty, just one building next to a tarp, you know, on cinder blocks,
mm-hmm.
and then another beautiful building, and
mm-hmm.
you don't have the same kind of zoning things, but the one thing they had, even if they were living underneath a tarp, was a smartphone. And so that the prevalence of smartphones, certainly the internet everywhere, there's this huge pushback on privacy that's happening, and we can't forget the emergence of distributed ledger technology.
Yeah.
Makes it now possible. I mean, and there's legal things that are happening. If you think about the general data protection regulations in Europe, I know your audience isn't going to know much about that, but there's a principle there that's very important. It's this. If there's any data about Mike anywhere, it's Mike's. That's what these regulations say. And if you're Google or you're Facebook or you're any company that has any information about Mike, it doesn't matter how you got it. If Mike says delete it, you have to delete it.
Hmm.
And if Mike says you want to see it or get your permission, you know, whatever. The point is any data about you is yours.
Nice.
And that type of legislation, it's coming. It's starting to come in different areas and
mm-hmm.
will eventually find its way to the U.S. as well.
So it's putting the power back in the consumer's yes. driver's seat, so to speak.
Exactly right.
Okay, I love it. All right, so to kind of wrap up here, how can a credit union discover more about this? Because I have a feeling that there's going to be quite a few, like, what is this? And how can we get it type of thing? So what,
yeah.
where can they go?
Well,
what can they do?
It's, first of all, CU Ledger is the big thing that the credit union industry, I'm tickled with, that they are getting behind. And that's the organized thing. CUNA's involved
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the largest entities in the credit union yep. industry are getting behind that effort, and we are helping from a technology standpoint with that. But there is no formal relationship between our company and CU Ledger, so there's an arm's length relationship there. But the That would be number one. Number two would be next week, the sovereign.org site will go live. We're announcing that in at a big conference in London.
Cool. Okay.
And S-O-V-R-I-N. Okay. It's a phonetic takeoff on the word of sovereign.
.org.
And
okay.
That, yeah, sovereign.org that will be live. And people can go learn about it there, but there's not a lot that you're going to be able to do. It's going to be an informational site. So really, credit unions who take an interest right now, that entry point is CU Ledger. They're going to be leading out on this.
Okay, very cool. Is there a time, without revealing anything or anything like that, is there a timeline that that you envision for this type of stuff? I mean, a lot of this is going to happen sooner rather than later, so it's...
Yeah, well, it's here's the thing, Mike. It's being built now, okay? The Sovereign Network exists. Identities can be stored there now, but not by end users. It's all in a sandbox right now.
Okay.
So it's being hardened, and additional nodes from around the world, you need nodes to mm-hmm. participate in this kind of a network,
yep.
are being established. We already have a number of them all over the world, but there's more coming online, including credit unions. So that didn't answer your question. Timeline. Sorry.
That's okay.
I don't have a definitive timeline.
That's fine.
If I were to guess, I would say by the end of 2016, by the end of next week, the sandbox for Sovereign will be available globally.
Okay.
So the sandbox for those who are interested in potentially being a node, they'll be able to start playing around in
nice.
That.
Nice. Okay.
Will it be hardened for production use by the end of the year? I think it will be.
I like that timeline. Okay. I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting like 2019 or something like that, or something far
out. No, it's getting close. It's exciting. And the credit unions are at the forefront
of
this.
That's awesome. Awesome, yeah. Awesome. All right, Timothy, anything else to add before we wrap up here? This is fascinating stuff, as always.
No, I there's so much to talk about. I will say this. This is going to sound a little bit like a crazy prediction, okay? But when self-sovereign identity, when people actually have these existences now that they can interact with, mm-hmm. it's a whole lot more than logging in and cutting down on usernames and passwords, right?
Yeah.
There's a place to interact. There's no reason, for example, when you have an identity and I have an identity, to use an email to communicate between each other.
Ooh.
We can now go direct in an encrypted manner that's completely private and secure without using any intermediaries except for Slap. So, entirely new ways of interacting, buying and selling things, coming to an agreement. If I want to sell you a car, you want to buy my car, we make a digital transaction identity to identity. I know you own that car and you know that I want to buy it. We agree on a price and mm-hmm. we make an agreement that's completely paperless and permanent and secure and everything else.
Holy
so the way that we lend, the way that we borrow, the way that we transact, the way that we advertise, all of these things have a chance of changing. So here's my crazy prediction. That when self-sovereign identity really hits full steam, and it's going to be a few years mm-hmm. to really... Once the credit unions can accelerate this, okay? I think they can make it happen faster. My prediction, it'll be a few years before it really catches a real head of steam. It will be as big a change as mobile.
Really?
I can see
that happening. I can see it, you know? It's hard to grasp initially, but once you start thinking about it and all the wins and then how it works, and like you just said, the whole encrypted communication and how that would work... Yeah, I can see it totally being a mobile thing, bigger than a mobile thing.
Bigger even than social media.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, the way that we interact, we need that Facebook, we need that Twitter, we need these companies to provide the platform that we can all engage on.
Right.
But when we all exist as our own platform, all of a sudden there's just new possibilities that change the way that we become social or interact professionally, mm-hmm. personally, socially, in any other way. And so I do think it's a bigger impact than social, and I think it's on par with mobile.
Wow. All right. That's an awesome way to end the interview. Kind of a cliffhanger. I like it. So
yeah.
We'll be checking back with you, Timothy. So thank you very much for this. And this is kind of piquing everybody's interest, giving them a little bit of a taste, an appetizer of what's to come. So very well done.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.